Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, 12 days of Disney Parks Christmas, topping out Instagram,
a very merry holiday tea party, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 10 for the week of December 6th, 2017. I'm Tig Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you for joining us this week. We have an interesting discussion coming up that received a lot of feedback online, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Now let's get to the news. The Disney Parks blog has announced the first ever 12 Days of Disney Parks Christmas, where they will reveal never-before-seen images and videos of new attractions, dining options, special events, and hotel experiences, including attractions announced at the D23 Expo. The post will appear daily from December 5th through December 16th.
In their first post, the new concept images for the Pixar Play Parade and the announcement that there will be three new elements coming to the parade. The leading float will be Luxo, the Pixar lamp, along with the Pixar ball that Luxo has jumped on. In addition, characters from Up, including Russell, Carl, Doug, and Kevin the Flightless Bird, will join. Carl's house is also scheduled to make an appearance.
Inside Out will also be joining in on the fun. Joy and Sadness will be on Bing Bong's Rocket Wagon, with Bing Bong cheering them on. As we reported on before, the parade will be premiering at Disneyland on April 13th. You can see the concept drawings for the new elements in the show notes at DisneylandWeekly.com.
Disneyland is on top of Instagram's list of most photographed places on Earth for 2017. Last year, the Disney parks were combined as one location. Disneyland ranked number 1, Disney California Adventure was number 9, Walt Disney World was number 6, and Tokyo Disneyland was number 5. This isn't the first time Disneyland has made this list. It placed 3rd in 2013, the first year the list was created, and topped the list for 2014 and 2015.
At Steakhouse 55 at the Disneyland Hotel, a very merry holiday tea party will be served Fridays through Sundays from noon until 3 p.m. throughout December. The tea party will include sweets, savories, and of course, tea. The special holiday menu offers a selection of teas with scones, sandwiches, and small sweets. For an additional charge, you can get wine, port, sherry, or cordials. So do you think there's going to be an appearance from the Mad Hatter at this tea party?
It's very possible. I can see it happening. There is tea there. Well, Disney has kicked off the second annual Share Your Ears promotion. Disney will donate $5 up to $1 million total for each photo that is shared on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram using the hashtag #ShareYourEars. Disneyland has set up special photo locations for this promotion, but your photos can be from anywhere. For more information, visit shareyourears.org. So this week's discussion topic was a heated one online when we posted on social media. So the question was, which is the better park, Disneyland or Disney World? Now, first of all, there is a problem with this question because it can be interpreted lots of different ways, because obviously Disneyland is a park, but is also the resort. Disney World is the entire resort out there. What were we asking about? I don't think it really mattered. I know personally for me, I look at Disneyland and I think of just Disneyland the park. When I look at Disney World, I kind of think of the whole thing together, so it's kind of a bad question on my part. But let's compare both resorts, I guess. So let's first start with some of the feedback we got from you guys on social media. So let's start with Teresa. Why don't you read Jerry's comment there?
Jerry Garcia at Jerry the Hut. Although both Disneyland and Walt Disney World have so much awesome, Disneyland is Walt's park. It's lightning in a bottle that continues to capture the hearts and imaginations of all who step foot within. Truly the happiest place on earth. Thank you, Walt. Very well put, Jerry.
Yeah, I agree with Jerry. I mean, it's really difficult when you compare both resorts or any of the resorts around the world, where Disneyland was literally the only park Walt Disney actually stepped foot in.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was his baby.
Yeah. He touched a lot of the stuff that's there physically. I mean, Main Street and stuff, a lot of that's gone unchanged. You know, he got his apartment above the firehouse. He had the apartment that was above that he never got to use, that was above Pirates of the Caribbean. But yeah, so it's really hard to argue with it was Walt's park. Continuing on Twitter, Oliver Garden, I'm not sure if that's your real name or not, or just some cute thing, because Olive Garden. if it is your real name, I apologize. Twitter handle at filmmaking18 said, Disneyland Anaheim is the OG, so that one. continuing on, some comments we got on Facebook.
From Laura Reynoso, well, since I've never been to Disney World, I'm going to have to say Disneyland is best. Good reasoning, Laura. I like it.
Yep. If you haven't been there, I mean, you can't really compare.
Hard to compare. Yep.
Diane El Fontes, I'm sorry if I'm slaughtering your name, says, I've seen both. I've gone to Disneyland the most. I live 60 miles from it, but both of these castles were built in different times. So I think she was commenting on the fact that the post we had showed both castles, but I think she makes a good point here. When they made the Disneyland castle, it was grand and very big, etc., from the 50s. When the Disney World castle was built in the 70s, it was made bigger, etc. Overall, both and all Disney castles are priceless to all that see them in person or in pictures, etc.
You know, and I think this is a good comparison. Yes, she's, you know, just comparing the castles in her post, but I think it's a good comparison for the parks in general, because even looking at some of the parks, the Disney parks that are now overseas, looking at the things that they've done with the same rides that we know, have grown up with and know and love, looking at the different ways that just because it's, you know, a different age, the different things that they can bring to those attractions now. And same thing even with the architecture. We have, you know, it's just a different time. So there's more things that they can do. I still think it's amazing when you go through Disneyland attractions, like Pirates of the Caribbean. That was one of the last rides, I believe, that Walt was still alive for. And just the fact
last ride
that
you worked on. Yep.
That's what it was, is just mind-boggling to me, because it is just so awesome to go through, and just it's amazing to me that they were able to create that in the time period that they were doing that in. All right, so from Emily Caitlin Diebler, I have been asked this so many times, which park is better? Having never been to any other Disney parks, I will say Disneyland is best. However, I believe that all Disney parks have their own dose of Disney magic that can be loved and remembered by any family. It's what Walt wanted and dreamed when he made Disneyland. Again, very well said, Emily. I like that. I do think it is one of my personal goals and on my bucket list. I would really like to visit each Disney park, not necessarily to compare them, but just to see them, because, like I was just saying, I feel like they're all awesome in their own ways.
I totally agree. I'll tell you, you know, I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. You know, I went to Disney World for the first time, not this past summer, but the summer before. And first of all, in talking to kind of talk about Diane's comment about the castles, I have never had a more magical experience than getting on the ferry boat at the Ticket and Transportation Center, and you come around this little island, because you can't see the park, because there's this weird little island in the way. But as you come around, off in the distance is this castle rising out of the Florida, you know, whatever. It looks like you're in a fairy tale. Like, there's this castle. You don't get that at Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know, the closest thing we got is, you know, when I was younger, we'd come down the I-5 from Northern California, and you'd see the Matterhorn. Everybody's looking for, where's the Matterhorn? We know we're close, and we can see the Matterhorn. But seeing that castle tower above everything else is kind of a sight to be seen. It's kind of, I think, kind of amazing.
And it makes sense for Walt Disney World. Could you imagine if you had that scale of a castle in the middle of Anaheim?
It'd be ridiculous. But see, I don't know if you knew this, but and I don't think a lot of people know this, but the reason the castle at Disneyland is smaller is not because, like, they couldn't afford it or they wanted to make it whatever. The reason that it's small is back in the day when they built castles, they were large and imposing because they were meant to be intimidating to the people living there. Mm. Walt wanted a castle that was not intimidating. He still wanted a castle, but he didn't want it to intimidate everybody.
Okay,
he wanted it to be welcoming. Mm-hmm. So you go there, and it's this welcoming castle. You look down Main Street. It's like, oh, I kind of want to go there. It doesn't kind of impose over everything.
It's not towering over everyone.
My argument, though, with the Disney World castle is And unfortunately, it's the exact same castle they have in Tokyo Disneyland. And honestly, I don't know what it is. I just think it's ugly. I do. I think it's ugly. I will say, I don't even think Disneyland's castle is the best. The best looking Disney castle is the one at Disneyland Paris. That is the most beautiful Disneyland castle, Disney castle anywhere in the world. I think that the new castle they have at Shanghai Disneyland looks big and bloated, and I don't really like that one either.
Bloated.
Well, because it's kind of wide and just chunky all the way up. I just don't really like it. The Disneyland Paris castle, I mean, they could tear it, with the exception of Disneyland, they could tear down every Disney castle anywhere in the world and put the Disneyland Paris castle there. Done. I'd be happy. I wouldn't complain. They are tearing, the only other castle that matches Disneyland's castle is in Hong Kong Disneyland, and they're actually tearing that down and upgrading it in the next couple years, which is weird because when they built Hong Kong Disneyland, they modeled it exactly off of Disneyland. Tokyo Disneyland was modeled kind of loosely off of Walt Disney World and the Magic Kingdom there. Nothing's ever been an exact model of Disneyland. Well, Hong Kong Disneyland was, but now it's not going to be because of that. So are you looking at pictures of...
I am. I just found an image, and maybe we'll have to throw it up on Facebook, but it's how do the Magic Castles stack up? And it actually has, you know, the all of the castles kind of right next to each other, stating which one is where, and then also... what, you know, how tall or how high they are. So the Disneyland castle in Anaheim is 77 feet tall, so is the one in Hong Kong. And for comparison, the Walt Disney World castle in Orlando is 189 feet tall. That is more than double the castle in Disneyland.
Yep.
And then it looks like Shanghai has the tallest.
Doesn't it look big and bloated?
I guess I wouldn't have used the, that's not the thing, that's not what I would have come off with that, but I can see where you see that. And that one's towering at 197 feet. It is interesting though, I didn't realize how, you know, seeing all of the castles side by side, it's interesting to me that the castle in Disneyland Paris is actually more narrow than the one in Anaheim.
Well, the reason for that is if you actually just go and look at if you just Google Disneyland Paris Castle, a lot of the castle, you know, it seems really narrow, but if you add that side kind of grass thing, it's kind of supposed to be like built into the side of a mountain. Mm-hmm. It offsets it because this picture, we'll put it on Facebook. I'll put it on Facebook with the when I post this episode, so you guys have probably already seen this picture at this point, but I'll put it on there so you can kind of see what we're talking about. But they don't take into account in this drawing that whole side thing. So we'll see how it goes.
You know, I guess I also didn't realize that there are only two princesses that have castles. We have Sleeping Beauty Castle, which is in Anaheim, Hong Kong, and Paris. Cinderella's Castle, which is Tokyo and Orlando. And then I guess Shanghai is just called the Enchanted Storybook Castle. For some reason, I thought each one was for a different princess. I guess nope. I didn't realize that they...
Fun fact, Sleeping Beauty had not opened when they built Disneyland yet. So the castle had the name. Sleeping Beauty came out, I believe, in 1959. Mm-hmm. So for 4 years, there was a castle built on a movie had not even come out yet.
For a princess that hadn't been introduced to the world yet.
Yep.
One thing for me is just the rides. Looking even at,
I believe
the
they're
same,
called attractions.
I'm sorry, attractions. Is looking at the attraction side by side. Even if you look, say, for instance, at Pirates, Disneyland versus Walt Disney World, I would rather go on the Disneyland version of Pirates. I don't know why, but I just like the layout better. I like that the Goonies was filmed there. I think that's a pretty neat fun fact.
Were the Goonies filmed there?
That's what I read somewhere. Maybe I read it online. So
I was
maybe
like,
it's
did you read it
true.
Online?
But anyways, besides that, I like the little waterfalls that you go down. I think they're more thrilling in Disneyland. And I just like the overall feel and the layout of the ride. I know they're very similar, but they are different. What's another one that's pretty different? The Haunted Mansion. I do like the Haunted Mansion a little bit better in Walt Disney World. I hate to say that. I just like that it's kind of set up on a hill and it's kind of more eerie and mysterious looking from the outside than I feel that it is at Disneyland. However, I was just reading the stretching rooms are quite different because it's not really a stretching room in Walt Disney World, whereas right. It is a true stretching room in Disneyland.
Well, you know what the reason for the stretching room is, right?
Yeah, so you can get down to the attraction.
But why?
Because it's underground.
But why is it underground?
Isn't there another attraction that goes... Oh, the railroad? It's the railroad.
So when they built the Haunted Mansion, they thought it was going to be like a walkthrough. So it was just going to be in the outside, in the actual, you know, mansion building.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they had to do is they had to creatively figure out, well, the train's in the way. How do we get people onto the other side of the train where the show building is? Why don't we make a stretching room that takes us down? So when you're walking down that hall with the paintings and it's thunder and lightning, you're walking under the train and you're actually leaving Disneyland.
Yeah, that makes total sense, but I never would have thought of that. But yeah.
Yep. So that's one thing that's another thing that I like to say that Disneyland is great at is because Disneyland is so constrained by size, where Disney World is not.
Yes.
The Imagineers have had to create things that are integral parts to the show to allow these things to happen.
It's so cool to me to look at an aerial view of the park and see that some of these rides some of these attractions that you're on, it's going to take me a while to get over that for some reason. But when you're on, like, what is it? Indiana Jones somehow is that attraction ride, whatever you want to call it. What do you call it? The housing.
The queue.
The show building. Yeah, it's just right next to, what is it? Next to Pirates and next to the Haunted Mansion. When you're in the park itself, they seem like they're forever away from each other.
Yep, especially like Pirates and stuff. Yeah, it literally when you're in line and you're in the queue going out to Indiana Jones, you're walking next to the next to the Pirates show building. So I've got a list here. We'll post this in the show notes as well from DisneyGeek.com. They have an article called Disneyland Resort versus Walt Disney World Resort. And they have a few different pages with different comparisons. So I'm on the attractions comparison. So let's start with what we've already talked about. So they said Main Street / the castle. The Walt Disney World versions are both much larger than the originals in Anaheim. Now, first off, I went online and I figured this out and I read it somewhere else as well. But I also did my own satellite views and everything to make sure this is correct. When you go to Disney World, Main Street seems so much bigger, like long and wider.
Yeah.
Do you know that actually it's the same physical dimensions?
I believe it. It's amazing to me how much they do to trick you into thinking sizing of things at both of the parks.
The distance from the train, if I remember correctly, the distance from the train station to the castle at both parks are the exact same. So but now the buildings are a lot bigger. Obviously, on Main Street in Disney World, the buildings are a lot bigger than Disneyland. But I actually kind of like the smaller buildings in Disneyland. I will say, looking at pictures from Disney World before I went there, I thought that Main Street was ugly and terrible. I don't care anymore. I think that they're fine. So the intimacy of Disneyland is a plus, they're saying. It has a unique feel with each stop offering a different type of merchandise for the most part. It's starting to disappear, but it's sort of still there. Walt Disney World, on the other hand, felt like a mall to me after a while, especially with the new enlarged Emporium. So moving on, in Fantasyland, we have Peter Pan and It's a Small World. Both of these attractions are at both parks. So according to DisneyGeek.com, so the first thing you'll notice about these Fantasyland attractions is the facades at Disneyland are much more impressive in detail and scale, which was not the case until Fantasyland was renovated in 1983. The Walt Disney World versions are very plain and, dare I say, boring. The interiors are similar. Small World is the biggest difference. So first of all,
it is interesting.
Small World is like...
totally different.
Their whole outside at Disneyland is inside there, which is weird. It's not very big.
No.
Like, obviously, you know, it's very grand at Disneyland. Also, Peter Pan, you know, it looks like you're entering kind of the, you know, London-y kind of thing. It looks great. Peter Pan, a lot of Fantasyland in Disney World kind of has that, like, carnival.
That's what I was just going to say. It feels very carnival-like, and I don't know, kind of like, I don't know, like the stands in the carnival that you walk past, and it's all the same stand, but if you really look in it and look at it, oh, no, that is the ring toss versus the goldfish versus the...
But see,
whatever.
I think that's something Disney World should do, though, is they should renovate just the facades of all that stuff. It would look so much better. So here's one for you, Teresa. So in this Peter Pan and Small World thing, it says the sets, so they're talking about Small World. In Disneyland, it is an exposed canal, whereas at Disney World, it's level with the sets.
Yes, we already know my opinion on it. It's a little too exposed for my taste.
So Pirates, we talked about this already a little bit too. The Pirates version of the attraction is much better at Disneyland. So Disney Geek says Disneyland's version of the attraction is much better in his opinion. The length, two waterfalls, extended caves, reverse waterfall to exit, put it over the top. The queue area and facade is better at Disney World. Although I don't know. I don't necessarily like the queue I think the queue, there's better, it's a better, more extended queue at Disney World, but I like the outside of Disneyland's better than Disney World's. I mean, it looks like a fort and everything at Disney World, but I kind of like the New Orleans kind of.
Yeah, I like it because it does tie in with New Orleans Square, so.
Plus, I always think of, there was a, I think it was the 10th anniversary special at Disneyland. They have the 10th anniversary ambassador walking around with Walt Disney, and they're talking about pirates. And they're talking about they go down a, so you're in the bayou, and then you go down a waterfall, and you're in the past, and you go through all this stuff. And he talks about all the whole thing. And then at the end, this is the most Walt Disney thing ever. I just love it. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, he's talking about the last show scene. He says, you know, you're trapped and there's fire all around you. And she asks him, she goes, well, how do you get out? And he goes, well, how do you think we get out? We got into this by going down a waterfall. And she goes, by going up a waterfall? And he said, that's right.
Exactly.
Anything's possible at Disneyland. And I was like, that is such a Walt Disney thing to say.
Well, plus, I don't know whether this is true or not, but I, again, read it online. The fact that there is a real human skull in the Disneyland version of the ride, and obviously that probably is frowned upon, so it did not make its way over to the Walt Disney World attraction.
Now, if you go around the world with Pirates of the Caribbean, if you go to Paris...
What is the...
Paris is like... reversed, so you like start in the village and end with them, like the storyline is more whatever, so that's a totally different thing. I don't know, I like the original.
What's the one that you're, it's, I don't know if it's Japan or if it's,
are you talking about Shanghai, the one with the big giant?
Yes,
yeah, the new one.
That one looks so
but I think it's so different.
Cool. It is very different. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think I think that all of these versions in some way or another have their place. Just don't touch any of them.
Plus, another bonus for the Disneyland version is you don't normally see a fourth Jack Sparrow in Walt Disney World. Johnny Depp will not.
Yeah. We talked about this last week. I'm like, there's three.
Yeah, exactly. The fourth. So yeah, no, Johnny Depp does not make appearances at the, has not been known to make appearances at the Walt Disney World Resort version.
But he knows what's better.
Done it a few. I'm trying to think how many times I've seen it. Like 3-4 times that he's done it. I think that's so cool. It would just be so surreal to be
if you were Johnny Depp, though, wouldn't you?
On the attraction and just be like,
wouldn't you if you were Johnny Depp, though? You're like,
why not?
Time.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, it's like a couple weeks ago, we talked about Mark Hamill showing up on Star Tours. Like, one of the things he was saying was that he said in one of those videos is like, he's been waiting forever to be a cast member. And I'm like, if you're a famous person, can't you just kind of do it?
There's probably rules against that. Probably. I don't know.
So another attraction that's at both places, and this one is an open day attraction at both parks, was the Jungle Cruise. So this one they say is pretty much a draw. Personally, I like Disneyland's version better. I don't really like the indoor, there's that whole indoor temple section.
It was different. I don't know. I guess I could take it or leave it.
All right. I know. I think you've had some...
It's in general, it's not one of my most favorite attractions, so...
It really depends on the skipper.
If you get a funny skipper... Does. And I usually don't, so that's the problem.
And you have to go in with that sarcasm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I know that some people don't.
I usually get the skipper that you can tell has just memorized whatever the lines are, and they're just kind of doing little vocal inflections every once in a while, so it's not as, like...
The one who
crazy
unironically uses the one who unironically uses the joke. Well, you don't see that every day, but I do every 10 minutes over and over.
Yeah.
So next one on the list is Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
So the two attractions are similar but different. I'm a purist. I like the cleaner looking mansion at Disneyland. You said you kind of like the mansion.
I just like how it's like set up on a hill and it's more eerie looking.
Now, you know what the Psycho House looks like, right? That kind of Psycho House, like from Psycho?
No, haven't seen it.
Look up, do a Google search for Phantom Manor, and that is the Haunted Mansion in Paris. That one is the most rundown haunted housing looking thing ever.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like that.
Not for a Disney park?
No.
So one thing Walt Disney was known as saying, so you got the outside and it looks all nice and clean at Disneyland. Well, one of the things he was known for saying about this was the ghosts take care of the inside. Disneyland takes care of the outside. So that's one of the reasons why it's nice or whatever. I don't know. I favor Disneyland. I don't really, there's some cool things at the Disney World version. I like the library and like the room with the steps going everywhere. It's a little weird because I'm so used to the Disneyland version, but you know.
Well, okay, so maybe I should clarify. I like the facade. I like the actual house at Disneyland. I like the setting better at Disney World because Disney World, it's, I don't know, it just like looks like it's up and kind of by itself and kind of creepy, whereas in Disneyland, it's, there's other things kind of creeping in on it.
But at Disney World, it's right next to Fantasyland.
It's still, yeah, but it's set back.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's set back and it's up on a hill, so that's...
So these three attractions, or both parks, are basically the exact same thing. Teacups, Dumbo, Carousel. I like the teacups at Disneyland better because I like their lanterns that go over it.
Oh, yes, I do, yeah.
Tiki Room.
They're basically the same.
I like the... If they could mix the pre-show from Disneyland with a little bit of the pre-show from Disney World,
yeah,
I'd be happy. Because the pre-show at Disney World is cool because they have like a waterfall mm-hmm. that stops yep, and the dude comes neat. Out from yep. the waterfall. Mm-hmm. Autopia versus Indy Speedway, they both suck.
Yes, terrible.
Disneyland
Get
Railroad,
rid of them both.
Yep. Disneyland Railroad versus the Disney World Railroad.
That's hard to compare too, I think.
They're very similar. I feel like there was more to see on Disneyland's Railroad than there was Disney World, because I felt like a lot of the Disney World Railroad at the Magic Kingdom, you're kind of in the backwoods, and you're not like yeah. going by a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Swiss Family Treehouse versus Tarzan's Treehouse. I like Tarzan's Treehouse. I actually like the theming of Swiss Family Treehouse better. However, I like Tarzan's Treehouse because I like the views up there better than at Disney World, because you can see over the river and all that.
Sure, yep.
Monorail, it's not even a competition, Disney World. Totally. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever been on the Disneyland monorail because it's kind of just another attraction, whereas the monorail at Disney World, as we've said many times, is an actual form of transportation to get you from point A to point B.
Right. Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder. So Space Mountain, the cool thing at Disney World for me was there was two tracks that kind of mirrored each other that were both in the mountain, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Splash Mountain is almost the exact same attraction, except for at Disney World, you're sitting next to each other. Mm-hmm. And Disneyland, it's all in one thing.
See, and I like the single
and
log
I
better.
Love Big Thunder Mountain. And I love the ending at Disneyland where they have the cave that explodes. But I love the track at Disney World better, because there's a section where you're going down and the track's kind of like rocks you back and forth.
Wonky.
Like the thing is kind of going out. And it's at that exact same time that you're like literally right next to the Walt Disney World Railroad. So sometimes you could be passing that, and that's mm-hmm. kind of cool.
Yep. So I think let's skip ahead. So let's go to Fantasmic. Did you watch Fantasmic when you were at Walt Disney World?
No. In fact, that was one of the things that I'd seen a video of, and I went, nope, nope, nope.
Yeah,
nope.
You don't really need to. Well, and it's just, it's kind of sad to me because I feel like it could be this big, awesome, Fantasmic on steroids type production that they could put on, because the amphitheater that they have you in is just massive feeling. And the worst part about that production of Fantasmic is the end, when
yep.
the little tiny Steamboat Willie
yep.
thing boat comes mm-hmm. out. And then when you're at Disneyland and it's, you know, the Mark Twain and it's just big, and it's, yeah, it's just awesome.
The thing that I
do like that Steamboat Willie is piloting the Mark Twain.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice touch.
Now, I will say one of the things that makes Fantasmic magical for me is the fact that this happens, like that whole side of the park
yeah.
is transformed for it. It uses everything at its disposal mm-hmm. over there. Where Disney World, it is its own amphitheater, and literally
well,
the only thing
yeah,
it's used for.
Yeah, they don't do anything else there. So that's why I was expecting like amazing things to happen. And it,
yeah, unfortunately, no. Now, however, I hope that maybe for the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, they will do a revamped show.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But yeah.
Well, there's just some other parts to it that just felt a little awkward. I think they have a Pocahontas segment in it, and that just felt a little, I don't know, it didn't quite flow.
Pirates mm-hmm. or
it did. I mean, I liked it, but it didn't quite flow mm-hmm. as
and they
nicely.
Still and they don't have Crazy Murphy. They just have like
yeah their
Murphy's
dragon is just sad.
Po-dunk.
They still have the sad dragon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some of the other things on this list were Cali River Rapids versus Grizzly River Run. I don't really count those as two of the same attraction. Muppets, Tough to Be a Bug, Captain EO
yeah.
are all very similar. Toy Story seems very similar, almost identical. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a difference. I do think that until Toy Story Land opens anyway, I do think the version that is at California Adventure is the facade and everything to get in there, I think, is a lot better themed. Goofy Sky School versus Primeval World, not a big deal. Indiana Jones Adventure versus Dinosaur.
Yeah, so we were talking about this before the podcast. I guess I didn't realize that they're the same technology and the same track layout, because Dinosaur, you're pretty much in the dark the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I found out that literally it's the same thing, just with different like animatronics and stuff. And I remember knowing this before I went on Dinosaur at Disney World. And I remember when I got on it, I said, I'm going to keep this in mind. And it's exactly the same. I'm like, oh my God, like we'd be going across the bridge right now. Right, or
watch out for snakes.
Yeah, right. Test Track versus Radiator Springs Racers, same ride system, different attractions. I was kind of disappointed by Test Track, because I've been excited for Test Track since I knew it existed. It was one of the rides I wanted to go, one of the attractions I want to go on at Epcot, at Disney World. It was like one of the premier things. And I guess a few years ago they redid it, and it's not nearly as exciting anymore.
Oh.
But I think Radiator Springs Racers is awesome.
That's cool.
Except for the couple times I've been there where the animatronics aren't working, and then it really makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Because you come in, and if the sheriff isn't talking to you, it's really awkward, and you're like, you're missing part of the storyline.
Right, yeah, I could see that. I was just going to say, the animatronics are so cool, but if those weren't working, I could see how that'd be very awkward. I actually somehow, when we were at Walt Disney World last, missed Test Track and did not go. We were there, did not go on it, but that
it always had a huge line every morning. Even like first thing in the morning, people were like,
I believe it. But okay, so back to Indiana Jones and versus Dinosaur.
Sure.
So for me, I just think that's so fascinating to me that it's the same thing. But it to me, it felt different. Granted, I didn't know that I was riding the same ride. I mean, there were things that reminded me of Indiana Jones. But the thing that I find more interesting about the Indiana Jones version is that you can see everything. I think that is so much cooler, because there's just so much more to that ride than the dinosaur ride.
Are you saying, so there's two ways I can take that. So are you saying that like it's not dark, or are you saying like in Indiana Jones, most of the attraction is in one giant room that you can see?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
I think that's cool, because you come in and you see other troop transports.
Well, and just the theming of the attraction and all of the different things that went into it, because it's easy when it's dark, the lights are off, you don't see what's, you know, don't know what the wall looks like. The wall could be nasty and gross, but
we know how you feel about that.
But here, you know, in the attraction for Indiana Jones, being able to see everything, they've themed that entire building. Right. I find that awesome.
You know, I think if they ever take it down and plus it in Disneyland, I think that there's a couple rooms there that they could like up a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's the two dark rooms that you go into that like has the thing, you know, the mice falling down on you. You could put something in there. I think the room with the darts at the end, you could do something a little different with. Like, it's still pretty cool as it is, but I feel like you could add something there maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they really need to get the effects going again in the queue. Because one thing I used to like is you pull... Well, first of all, they stopped this because I'm sure somebody got hurt and it was, you know, lawsuit. But in part of the queue, there was the section where there's the spikes that come out of the roof. Those used to like raise and lower, so it would like feel like that. Yeah, so the first year when it opened, I was there. And I remember being in this queue for seemingly forever, but it was okay because I was like, oh, this queue does a lot of things. And you know, there's that area in the one area where you pull on the rope and the guy's like, don't pull on the rope. And you pull it, he goes, oh, and he falls. Like, a lot of that stuff doesn't work really anymore. It makes me kind of sad. The last one on this list is Little Mermaid Aeros in a New Adventure. I think they're literally the same exact attraction. Except for the outside. I think, obviously, Disney World wins on this one because it's themed to the whole area.
Well, it's got it is neat in Disney World. I do like that they've got multiple princess castles, because you've got...
You got
the big castle, but then you also have Ariel's castle, kind of a little miniature one, I guess. And then you also have a little miniature Sleeping Beauty castle, or not Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast castle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's neat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's a nice backdrop for Fantasyland, too.
Right. So now over to the blog on shermanstravel.com. So there's an article called 8 Major Differences Between Walt Disney World and Disneyland. So they have it also broken up into categories. So first we'll get some stats, size and number of parks. So Disney World, the most obvious difference is the resort size. So Disney World in Orlando, Florida is 43 square miles.
Wow.
About twice the size of Manhattan, or roughly the size of San Francisco.
That's crazy.
Has 4 theme parks, which include Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. The icon of Disney World is Cinderella Castle. Disneyland in Anaheim, California. It's much smaller, sitting on only about 500 acres. It has two parks, Disneyland and California Adventure, and its centerpiece is Sleeping Beauty Castle.
That's amazing to me because weren't we just looking up, doesn't Disneyland actually have more attractions than Disney World?
It does.
And it's, what I mean, a fraction of the size. That's crazy.
Yep.
They are very good at utilizing their space in Anaheim.
Yeah, and we were talking about that earlier too, where, you know, it's great because they've you know, you have to think about and do all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Next, hotels. So Disney World, both resorts have on-property hotels, making it convenient for guests to stay close. Disney World has close to 24 hotels, catering to almost any budget. The flagship is the Disney's Grand Floridian. At Disneyland, there are 3 hotels on property, soon to be 4. The Disneyland's Paradise Pier Hotel, the Disneyland Hotel, and the resort's flagship property, the Disney's Grand Californian Hotel.
I didn't realize that it was the Grand Californian Hotel was the flagship property.
Yeah. Hmm. It's the one that commands the most price.
Oh, I always looked at flagship as like the original.
No, flagship is like
There's the difference.
Yep, because the Grand Floridian.
The main one.
The Grand Floridian didn't open until like 87 or 89 or something.
Oh.
So the flagship hotel at the time when Disney World opened, I believe, was the Contemporary or the Polynesian, because those were the two that opened first. I would say the Contemporary because I like the Contemporary, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. So we can skip over the next one because we already kind of talked about
transportation.
Talking about transportation. Mm-hmm. And really, I think that's hard to compare too, because at Disney World,
You need transportation,
whereas Disneyland, you can just walk right across the street and you're at the next park.
That's one thing James said, is that Disneyland and Disney World are only separated by, you know, a few hundred feet.
Yeah.
So going from one to the other, easy. Park hopping, like, oh, we have a fast pass for Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's go do that. Oh, now let's go back over to Disneyland for the parade.
Right. See, I don't quite understand. I get the park hopper pass makes total sense for me for Disneyland. I do not understand why you would pay extra for the park hopper at Disney World.
We did.
I know. People
do. But I'm used to it from Disneyland. Yeah, that's probably
I know. People do, and I'm too. And so when we went last, it was really hard for me to not do that option, but I was like, "Well, really? We're going to just devote one day per park because going in between parks, you're wasting a lot of time."
Now, the other thing, too, you got to think about, and this is what we thought about when we were there, is Magic Kingdom is usually open till 11 or midnight, and the other parks usually close at like 9 or 10. So if you want to get your full Disney day, a park hopper is good, because if Epcot closes at 10, you leave Epcot, you get to Magic Kingdom by 10:30, 10:45, you still have like another hour and 15 minutes in a park, as opposed to, oh, it's 10 o'clock, it's time for us to go back to the hotel now. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Each their own.
So ticketing and reservations. So the big difference here is the Magic Band.
Yeah, I wish
Disney World, which I'm sure eventually it'll come to Disneyland too.
I don't know. I wish they would bring it there. They say it was a big failed thing and that they lost all types of money on it, but I don't know. I thought it was great when I was there, but I think my Magic Plus, I think, is where Disneyland is going.
So another one we kind of touched on already: shows and entertainment. So some of the big ones, I guess, at Walt Disney World would be Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, Beauty and the Beast Live on Stage, and The Finding Nemo the Musical, which did you see that was actually pretty spectacular to watch?
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast, we saw all these. So PhilharMagic was fine. Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, I got picked as that guy, so I was embarrassed the whole time, so I didn't enjoy it as much as I maybe could have. Beauty and the Beast was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was typical.
Finding Nemo was pretty good. It was Broadway production.
Yeah, I did. It was Broadway production, and I loved the puppets. I thought that was so cool.
The best production I've ever seen, though, Aladdin the Musical, spectacular. Followed by...
Rest in peace.
Did you ever see Mickey the Magical Map? That was actually pretty good,
too. No, I didn't.
Yeah, so that's got like a big interactive screen that they interact with.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Disneyland has Frozen Live at the Hyperion, which everybody's sick and tired of. And World of Color.
I'm surprised they haven't done something World of Color-esque at Walt Disney World. I don't know where they would really do it. I mean,
they kind of
use that in Epcot, you know, the jets and all that.
Yeah, and Illuminations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that in Disney World, they've kind of gone projection, because they added projections to the castle, and now they do it with their fireworks show, which finally.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Hollywood Studios, they've got the Chinese Theater and the Tower of Terror that they do projections on now. And then at Animal Kingdom, they do projections on the Tree of Life. So I think they've gone really projection-y for that type of stuff.
Sure. Well, and I guess really that's what World of Color is. It's projections onto a water screen.
But you also get water jets, and they've added, since the first time I saw World of Color, they've added lights to California Screaming in the background. So, it adds kind of to it, and on the Mickey's Fun Wheel.
It gives it a nice backdrop.
Now, I will say the best use of all of these technologies together, again, is at Disneyland Paris. I was there for the 20th anniversary, and maybe after the podcast, I'll show you a video of this because it's pretty awesome. So, the moat at Disneyland Paris, they put jets in.
I saw that when we were just watching the holiday special last week, and they kind of had the little blips. I don't remember where all they showed, but it was different castles, and they did the same production in essence, and I noticed that they had water jets in the moat. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, so when we went and saw the 20th anniversary thing of Disneyland Paris, they had fireworks, I believe they had projections, and they had water jets.
That's awesome.
It was like Fantasmic mixed with World of Color mixed with Disneyland fireworks. It was great. It was a great show.
And they one loved child, and it was just beautiful.
Yes, it was. And of course, it was on the most beautiful castle, so there.
Even better.
Activities outside the park. So this one, I think Disney World kind of
And you have to, though, because you're staying at their, if you're staying at the resorts, there's nothing really around you for quite some time. So they have to keep you entertained.
Well, you know, so you got a couple things. So first of all, if you're only staying on property, you've got Disney Springs, which is great, which is way better than Downtown Disney. Downtown Disney just feels like a mall.
You know, and I've never even been to Downtown Disney.
You just walk through it to get on the tram to... Oh, you don't even go to the tram.
No, I don't.
You stay at the hotel.
Yep. I'm on the other side of the park.
Disney World also has two water parks. They got golf and mini golf courses, biking, jogging paths, boat rentals. Disneyland, unfortunately, just has the three hotels, and you could be mugged down the street, as I understand it.
Well, and Disneyland just doesn't have the space. There's no way that they could offer all that Disney World has. And like I said, it makes sense because if you're going to be staying on property, you probably took, you probably flew into Orlando, got some sort of transportation from the hotel.
If you're staying on property, it's the Disney's Magical Express. It's included from the hotel.
Yeah.
Or from the airport to the hotel.
So they shuttle
back.
You down there, and then, I mean, you have no transportation except what Disney provides. And obviously,
free buses, free
they're
monorail.
Not going to be carting you out. Side of their property to go find something fun and exciting to do. They want to keep you entertained within. Yep. So it makes total sense. And the other thing too, I feel that Disney World kind of wants you to, and it depends for families, we'll say they, because it can be overwhelming, I'm sure, to have small children going through the parks, but go there for, go there in the morning, do the resort thing, go down some attractions, and then come back to your resort, have some downtime, and then maybe lay out by the pool or go do some mini golfing, whatever, have some downtime, and then return to the park at night to do the nighttime thing.
Now, I know I've mentioned him before, but if you go online and you watch on YouTube, youtube.com/TheTimTracker, he has been doing these videos off and on now for, he does a daily video for like the last few years, but he's been doing semi-regular, he goes to Disney Springs, he randomly picks a resort hotel that he's going to take the bus to, and then he gives a tour of the resort hotel. There is a crap ton of stuff to do with these resort hotels at Disney World. And so much so that I told James, the next time we go, I want to go for 2 weeks, and you don't have to come to the first week. I will go, and all I want to do is I just want to hop around all the hotels.
Check out the hotels, yeah.
He would be bored, but
I'll come with. It's fine.
Yeah, so we could check out the hotels because there's a lot of stuff to do. There's daily stuff. There's a lot of free activities. There's a lot of pools. A lot of the resorts have multiple pools, which is pretty cool. And they all have their own little theming and stuff, so it's pretty cool. So we talked a lot. If you guys have anything to add, as you can tell, we read your comments and stuff on the show. If you want to have your comments in the show, go ahead and get in contact with us online. We'll have some of that contact information here in a few minutes. But basically, what do you think? Which is the better park or resort? Disneyland, Disney World, Magic Kingdom, Disneyland, Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort? Are you overseas? Do you like Disneyland Paris better? Do you like Shanghai Disney better? Sound off, tell us why, and we'll read it maybe next week on the show. Do you have any final thoughts, Teresa?
Yes. So to wrap it up, just in case anybody was unclear, Tag and I both vote that Disneyland is the better park because I think we both feel this way. Like our friend Jerry, it's just amazing to me that Walt was in that park, and Walt truly created that park. All of the other parks are just kind of what everyone thinks he would have done, but Walt, or you know, Disneyland was his creation, and it just, that to me, that's just so magical. And I don't think, I mean, like I said, I like the other Disney parks for what they bring to the table too, but Disneyland will always be number one in my heart.
Yeah, and you know, I used to be diehard Disneyland, and Disney World can go away, can float away with the entire state of Florida for all I was concerned. But, you know, I kind of changed my opinion. It's just, it's different. It's not the same. It's just different. And, you know, different is good.
And you know, I don't think it would be sad to me if it was a carbon copy. I'm glad that they're different.
Yeah.
Because then it gives you a reason to go to the different parks.
Yeah. I wish Disney would get on with all their parks. I wish they'd get back to, like, when I was a kid. I wish they would try to create something new every year that you should go for.
Yeah.
So whether it be a brand new parade one year, a brand new fireworks show the next year, a brand new e-ticket attraction the next year, because you don't have to add... See, what's happened lately is, you know, you got like the 60th anniversary, so you got a new parade, you got a new fireworks show, and you got a new e-ticket, and then nothing for 10 years, potentially. So I think that they should start spreading it out, and I think they would get more people consistently over time instead of trying to do these giant all-at-once things that are all themed to one thing, just do whatever. Well, before we wrap up this week, we'd like to ask each of you to support the show by just telling one other person about it or even posting something about the show on your social media pages. I know that during the holidays, being able to support a podcast by becoming a patron can be challenging, so sharing the show is a great alternative. If you do want to support the show financially, you can do so by going to disneylandweekly.com/support.
That is all we have for you this week. You can help the show by leaving a review on iTunes, as that really helps get our podcast out there. If you want to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
We'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
No matter what you're a fan of, Texas has the trip for you. There's the trip to Texas and the trip. Or maybe you're the kind of fan who'd prefer a trip to Texas or a trip. Either way, go to TravelTexas.com/getyourown for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.